You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the fan-sided Timberwolves fan site. Happy weekend, everybody. Happy Saturday. Welcome to a special weekend edition of Locked On Wolves. Today, just a few Wolves notes to talk about off the top. Also want to chat a little bit about the playoff games from Friday night. Don't get a chance to recap the Friday night action very often, and there were a couple of really good games on Friday night in the NBA playoffs. And then I also want to just kind of talk about a quick, I guess, spin around some of the more recent mock drafts that are out there and what folks are saying about really the Anthony Edwards or LaMelo Ball debate, which is still, of course, raging. And with the recent news on possibly pushing the draft back even further, I'm sure we'll be debating this for an extra 4 or 5 weeks beyond what we were expecting initially. So I guess then again, the draft should have been 3 months ago. So what's another 4 or 5 weeks beyond that October 16th day, right? So that's what we'll do today. First, though, a quick reminder here off the top to please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you prefer to get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. If this is your first time listening, a reminder, we are a daily podcast, typically Monday through Friday. This week, we added a Saturday show. But it's usually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all your Wolves news, all the conversation. And this time of year, that's mostly draft talk. It's mostly rumors that are out there debating what stars the Wolves could target on the trade market or what free agents they could go after. So be sure to tune in on Monday. We will be back then with another episode. All right. So first, I guess let's talk about the playoffs before we get into the Timberwolves stuff. So the first game of the night was the game five matchup between the Clippers and the Nuggets. Of course, the Clippers were up in that series 3-1. They're actually leading for most of the game. They're up 15 late in the first half, kind of carried that lead throughout. And then ultimately, the Nuggets pushed back and ended up coming back, winning by six down the stretch. Michael Porter Jr., after not making a field goal all game, had a massive three-pointer, kind of an irrational confidence type shot. I mean, he only attempted three shots on the night, but was 0-for-2 shooting at that point. Shot a three-pointer and made it. And then had a massive block and a couple of big rebounds on the stretch as well. He only finished a 7-5 off the bench, but was tied for a team best plus 13 in the plus minus column. It was perfect from the free throw line, 4-for-4 there. And a big part of this, this team's victory down the stretch, the Nuggets outscored the Clippers by 13 in the fourth quarter. So entering the fourth quarter, the Nuggets were, they were down by seven, outscored the Clippers 38-25 in the final frame, won by six, and pushed this to a game six, still trailing 3-2 in the series. That was a fun game. Game seven, though, over in the Eastern Conference, to find out who is going to go play against Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat, who, of course, eliminated the Bucks the other day. And this ended up being a Celtics victory, beating the second-seeded Raptors. They won by five. They were trailing by one going to the fourth quarter. They were up by one going to the fourth quarter and were able to hold on down the stretch. The Raptors just weren't really executing on offense. There was a pretty terrible possession down three it was basically the final possession. There was like 30-some seconds on the clock. And Fred VanVleet just dribbled around. There was only one other Raptor that touched the ball in the possession. VanVleet got shut down by the Celtics defense and specifically by actually both Williams, both Grant Williams and Robert Williams III, kind of combined to shut him down on the perimeter. And he airballed a three-pointer, kind of a desperation heave. It was really a uncharacteristically awful offensive possession for the Raptors. And they ended up losing by five to the Celtics. And this is the first time in maybe ever that the Eastern Conference hasn't had a one or a two seed in the conference finals, as it'll be the Raptors and the Heat, the Celtics and the Heat. I do want to give some props to the Raptors, though, upon them being eliminated. You look at this team, and nobody expected them to be quite as good as they were this year, which is maybe a little bit ridiculous because they did win the championship and they did have the coach of the year last year. I get that they lost Kawhi Leonard, arguably one of the top three or four players in the league, but they won 53 games, and of course, not a full season, 53-19. So they would have won more than that had they played a full season, obviously. And they, you know, you look at their roster, they've got a few all-star type players. I mean, guys that are borderline superstars. Like Kyle Lowry's a star. OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam are both, emerging players. Fred VanVleet, same thing. Guys like Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol are playing more complementary roles at this point in their respective careers. But this team doesn't have that superstar. They don't have the Jason Tatum. They don't have, obviously, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. They don't have Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. Jimmy Butler. They are a team that last year with Kawhi, and now this year without Kawhi, they got to the second round and pushed to a game seven with a roster that just wasn't quite as good as last year's. And while a bunch of these guys improved, none of them are superstars. You're not going to see a list of the top 10 or probably 15 players in the game. Kyle Lowry's, maybe in the 15 to 20 range, probably closer to early 20s if you're going to rank every player in the, or low 20s, every player in the league. At this point, OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam are not quite there. Anunoby scored 4 points in this game. He's a really good player and a great defender, but they don't have that superstar. And yet, here they are going to game seven in the second round, second seed in the Eastern Conference, and Nick Nurse is just a fantastic coach. The roster construction also deserves some props. The way this team was put together by Masai Ujiri, of course, is just amazing. And you look at the roster, and you wouldn't think, this is a team that's traded away DeMar DeRozan and lost Kawhi Leonard in free agency over the past couple of years. And yet here they are again, doing what they do. And a lot of that is roster construction. It's finding diamonds in the rough like Fred VanVleet. It's developing guys like Anunoby and Siakam. And props to that organization for just consistently being impressive. Look at the Timberwolves roster. Like for instance, just taking one facet of the game, and defense is a huge part of what they do. Obviously, they were second in defensive rating in the regular season. Their offense was kind of middle of the road for all the reasons we listed. That they just don't have all the guys that they used to. But they were fifth in 3-point percentage in the league this year. Every single player in their rotation was 35% and or better in terms of 3-point shooting. Their regular rotation, guys who saw regular minutes. I guess Rondae Hollis-Jefferson would be the one exception. But Kyle Lowry was basically the worst 3-point shooter on this team in the rotation outside of Hollis Jefferson, which is weird. He still shot 35% from three. Siakam was better than that. Marc Gasol shot 38.5%. Ibaka, 38.5%, both almost 3.5 attempts per game. Fred VanVleet at 7 attempts per game, 39%. This team just had everybody shooting league average or better from three, and it opened up their offense to do a number of other things, and they're just okay at drawing fouls, and they don't shoot a ton of twos. They don't, they get out and run a fair amount in terms of the athletes that they have on the wings and doing some damage in the open court, but it's not a track meet when you play the Raptors necessarily. And yet they can win in a variety of ways. And again, that goes back to roster construction and Masai's job doing that has been awesome. And then Nick Nurse on the sideline is fantastic. And they've got a number of these role player type guys that exceed expectations, or did consistently throughout last year and this year. So props to the Raptors on a great year. Obviously Brad Stevens and the Celtics are awesome too. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown has really stepped up. It just always seems like they've got just depth for days, and they've got these role players that, Daniel Tice coming out of basically nowhere, last year into this year. And, some of these other, both Williamses being so good defensively and the way that the Celtics manage their rotation and get all these guys run, and they're still effective even these short stints is really impressive. So a couple of, obviously, model organizations in the defending champion Raptors and the Celtics, who are now going to the conference finals once again. So kudos to them. Great season for the Raptors. Looking forward to game six on the other side. And actually, Saturday evening is game five between the Lakers and the Rockets as well. So we'll see if the Rockets can do what the Nuggets did and extend this series for one more game. All right, next up, I want to talk about some Timberwolves-related notes that just came out here recently. A couple of notes before we get into mock drafts. Before we do that, let's talk about our fantastic friends at DoorDash. Continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. You can support your favorite restaurants on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities that they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your very first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. We talked on Friday's show about the various Timberwolves executives and coaches that are receiving interview opportunities with other organizations. That's the one bit of news that I want to, I guess, re-mention. Sachin Gupta, the Timberwolves executive VP of basketball operations, is the Sacramento Kings want to interview him to run their basketball ops department. I expressed on Friday some skepticism that he'd be too interested in that role, but who knows? I mean, everybody, all these guys, for the most part, their goal is to run a team. Of course, Gerson Rosas was the number two guy in Houston for the better part of 17 years and had briefly taken a job with the Mavericks for a few months before deciding it wasn't the right fit. They mutually parted ways. He went back to Houston. That's an example of somebody who took his time, made a mistake one time, was fortunate enough to get his previous job back in Houston, and apparently learned a lesson and found what he felt to be the right situation in Minnesota. We'll see what Gupta does. I mean, he's been with, you know, Houston, Detroit, Philadelphia, and now Minnesota, and clearly will have options in the future as well. So I'd be surprised if he didn't want to see through what was going on in Minnesota. And, you know, before making the leap, the Kings are one of the few organizations that has been as maligned or, you know, has been worse than the Timberwolves over the past couple of decades. So it would be a little bit of a surprise to me. And then David Vanterpool is going to be interviewed, or at least teams that will want to interview him, the Chicago Bulls, Indiana Pacers, possibly the New Orleans Pelicans, possibly Oklahoma City, all organizations potentially interested in hiring him. Same thing goes to Vanterpool. I think he's more likely to leave just because he had interviewed for a lot of jobs last offseason, was the runner-up for the Wolves job. The Wolves, of course, will want to keep him as a defensive coordinator and somebody to help develop their internal talent. So we'll see how that ends up. The other thing I wanted to talk about is not necessarily Wolves specific, but obviously is important to the Wolves, being that they have the number one pick and the 17 and the 33 in this year's draft. But the NBA is planning now to allow in-person draft interviews in October. This is a report initially from Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN, and then also Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium chimed in on this as well. But basically the report is that teams might be able to start interviewing prospects face-to-face in mid-October. And again, this is assuming that the draft is pushed to November 18th instead of October 16th. And they're still looking to do a virtual draft, like what the WNBA did this year, also the NFL back in April. And I mean, initially, of course, the draft was going to be late June. Then it was pushed to October 16th. Now, while it's not official, it sounds like the Players Association, and this is according to Adrian Wojnarowski again, has agreed with the NBA to push the draft another month to mid-November, really kind of late November, just before Thanksgiving. November 18th is the targeted date. But Woj also says it's, quote, far from certain. So the other note from Shams Charania at The Athletic is that related to these draft interviews, they would also try and have, the NBA would try and have an actual draft combine, which of course usually takes place in May, right around the time of the lottery, typically in a normal year. And this combine would take place in mid-September, which is like a week from now, to early October. They would do medicals in market, on-court medicals, and virtual interviews. And then they're targeting something like a mid-October to whenever the draft ends up happening, having in-person interviews with no workouts as part of that. So teams would be able to view these workouts and then do virtual interviews sooner. And then down the road, they would move to have guys travel for in-person interviews and not actually do the on-court workouts. So I'm not really sure what the delineation is there and why that's the way that this would go down. But, you know, it makes sense. I mean, I think we're at the point now. I mean, if you watched any football this week, there's fans in the stands at Chiefs games. There's fans in the stands on Saturday morning at college football games. And, you know, obviously distancing, a lot of these places are requiring masks, even in your seat. So it stands to reason that you should be able to have an in-person interview. I think one of the primary concerns was travel and having these guys get on commercial flights. So perhaps there's going to be some sort of like, if you live within this many hours, you got to drive or find alternate transportation or send an Uber or something. But once these guys arrive for their interviews, it should be fairly easy to keep the distance, 6+ feet, probably still be masked, just take all the precautions. I think the travel again is the main concern when it comes to something like this. So we'll keep an eye on that. Obviously the Timberwolves are going to want to do that with tons of guys. I mean, they have three of the first 33 picks. Obviously they're going to want to interview, for that number one pick, certainly LaMelo Ball, certainly Anthony Edwards, probably still James Wiseman, because why not? They're going to want to talk to everybody, and they also don't want to make it too obvious that they're going to go in a certain direction. And then there's all the guys who are probably going to go in the mid to late lottery for trade back possibilities. There's plenty of teams that are going to be candidates for trading up to the number one pick. The Wolves aren't going to rule anything out. They've made that very clear. And Sachin Gupta, we talked about this on Friday's show, I think, in his interview with John Krasinski at The Athletic, was very clear about trading back or even trading out. And then the Wolves also have 17, so they've got to talk to the late second or late first round guys, the guys who could slide into early second round. Darren Wolfson at KSTP and Score North reported that the Wolves had an interview scheduled with Daniel Uturu, who went to the University of Minnesota, here pretty soon. He's probably going to go somewhere from the early 20s to the mid second round. My bet is somewhere in the late first round. And he's been getting some steam lately as a potential late lottery, early or late teens type guy. So the Wolves will talk to him. And I mean, pretty much everybody, I would bet that they're going to speak to 60+ guys, because they have their fingerprints all over this draft. They could slide back and pick up second round picks. All these things are possibilities. So it's going to be a really busy fall for the Timberwolves in what would otherwise typically be an on-court period. The other report related to the offseason is that now the league has already assured teams that they're not going to play. They're not going to start the regular season for next season until at earliest Christmas Day. My money is still on sometime in January, probably Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The league wants to have teams play in their home markets and have limited fans in arena. And so, why rush it? Just push it back a little bit more. It's going to be really weird to have a season that doesn't start. The 2021 season won't actually start in 20 most likely, but what about this year hasn't been weird? So that's likely where we're headed in terms of the draft and the upcoming dates. All right, next up, I want to talk about the most recent mock drafts out there and what they are saying about the Timberwolves, and read through some of these ones that have been updated in the past week or two. Before we do that, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before, which is very hard to do. There were already 12 original flavors that were fantastic, are fantastic. Raspberry was one of my favorites. Mint brownie is probably my absolute favorite. Toffee almond was really good. And now there's 6 brand new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, and lemon almond cheesecake. They are fantastic. It's back. It's better than ever. There's also a brand new logo, brand new packaging. It's not only better tasting, but it's more attractive as well. Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose or maintain weight while still indulging in a delicious treat that, again, tastes just like a candy bar. Can't even tell the difference. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high in fiber. Perfect if you are on a keto diet. And right now, for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase at BuiltBar.com. While supplies last only, go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. That's your next order. If you've already ordered, you can order again for a limited time only. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off at BuiltBar.com. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's talk mock drafts. Mentioned the other day that The Ringer finally updated. Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer updated his mock draft. He's got LaMelo Ball going number one to the Wolves. We talked about that a little bit. Basically, he also mentions in here that there's some teams that don't even have Ball in their top 10, which is shocking to me. But as I've said before, when it comes to trading a pick in the draft or trading back in the draft, all it takes is one. There's definitely more than one team that's going to think that LaMelo Ball is worthy of the number one pick in the draft. The most recent mock draft at NBC Sports is out, and they have, this is by James Hamm at NBC Sports, they have the Wolves taking the middle ball at number one. He talks about Basically, he says, Anthony Edwards is in the running, but this spot might come down to personal preference and a small amount of need. Ball sees the court like his older brother Lonzo, but has a lot more offensive potential, ability to create for others, et cetera. He could be the third big-time player the Wolves are looking for. And then he does have the Warriors taking Edwards at 3 and Wiseman going to the Hornets at 4. Dani Avdija is getting some steam to the Bulls the Hornets at 3 would take Wiseman, and then Avdija to the Bulls at 4, which is getting a lot more steam. He's got the Cavs taking Onyeka Okongwu at 5 and the Hawks taking Isaac Okoro at 6. Obi Toppin sliding to 7 to the Pistons. Another one of the mock drafts that was updated recently, this was just on Friday. This is at Yahoo. This is Raphael Johnson. And they have the Wolves taking Edwards at number 1. They say, quote, since there's no clear-cut top option, fit may be taken into greater consideration than in most years when teams go to the best player on our board route no matter what. Despite the presence of Culver and Okogie, Edwards is the pick for Minnesota. He basically says the positional fit and then defensive potential is what will get Edwards the number 1 pick. He's also got Wiseman going 2 to Golden State, LaMelo Ball sliding to 3 to Charlotte, Obi Toppin going to Chicago at 4 to round out that top 4, and then Avdija sliding to 5 to the Cavs, and Onyeka Okongwu going to the Hawks at 6, and Tyrese Haliburton going 7 to Detroit. It's really interesting. There really isn't any sort of a consensus here. I mean, you look across all these mock drafts, most are going to have Ball or Edwards to the Wolves, but then it's kind of a mix with Golden State. There's a lot of people that think Golden State will just go with a big man because, you know, they need a big man. But I also don't think Wiseman 100% fits what the Warriors are trying to do. And everyone knows that the Warriors and Wolves are both trying to trade their picks. And so this, you could really throw probably like 8 of these names in a hat, and the way that they're going to go in the top 8 in this draft, nobody knows. Nobody has any idea. Depends on who's going to trade up. It depends on, what these teams really think about Edwards and his issues on defense and his issues in terms of efficiency on offense and his effort issues, especially on defense. What people think of Ball's ability to become an okay defender and a good shooter. And then, again, all it takes is one. All it takes is one team to just fall in love with one of these prospects, and they'll trade a king's ransom to move up and get him in what's otherwise considered a weak draft. So it's just really fascinating to see how much these mock drafts differ. The updated mock draft by Matt Norlander over at CBS Sports, he does a really good job. He's got the Wolves taking Anthony Edwards first and basically shrugs his shoulders in his analysis and says that Edwards is the only guy worth trading up for. And so even if the Wolves trade it, he thinks Edwards will go 1, whether it's, whether it's the Wolves or not. He doesn't think anybody will trade up for Helis, Ball, Wiseman, or Obi Toppin. And that basically, he said that there's some teams that think that Edwards wasn't used to his full potential at Georgia, even though he could do whatever he wanted. He just wasn't used to his potential, wasn't put in the best positions to succeed. And interestingly, he also throws into his analysis that Edwards' ceiling is, quote, probably 2 notches below James Harden's, and that's still plenty high. I don't really understand that comparison. I don't think that they're similar players at all. And I don't know that that's true. I don't know what a notch is in this scenario. Like what's 1 notch below James Harden? Is it, I don't know. Is it a second team all NBA, or are we talking like borderline all-star? I don't really understand that analogy there, but at any rate, he's got Edwards going 1. So we've looked at 3 recent mock drafts. 1 has Ball at 1 to the Wolves, 2 have Edwards. And then basically the rest of them are all mixed up. He's got Obi Toppin going 2 to the Warriors, which you don't see a lot of. Ball going 3 to the Hornets. Okongwu going 4 to the Bulls. Avdija going 5 to the Cavs. And Wiseman sliding all the way to 6 to the Atlanta Hawks. I could absolutely see this happening because teams are afraid now of overvaluing 7-footers unless you're Karl-Anthony Towns. And yeah, there's some thought that Wiseman's skill set could be similar to Towns, but he's not as polished as Towns was when he came into the NBA. There's not as nearly as much of a college track record either with Wiseman. And so I think it wouldn't surprise me to see Wiseman of the trio of Ball and Edwards, to see Wiseman fall the furthest. Edwards isn't going to get past the top 2 because of this perceived ceiling that he has. But Wiseman could certainly slide. All right. That's all we have for you today. We'll be back, of course, on Monday with any Wolves news from the weekend. and probably talk about some additional trade possibilities as we get closer to the draft. And hopefully we get some closure on when the draft will actually happen. Also recap the NBA playoff action from the weekend as well on Monday's show. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Remember, we are daily, Monday through Friday. Check back with us early next week. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.